very subtle thing, and the more gentle you are with it, the easier it works. All right. Let's do another one here on telepathy, and again show you how it works. I need a couple volunteers to leave the room. Okay. Someone else.
Okay, I will.
All right. Now. Okay, you leave the room, and I'm gonna come out. Let's see, all the way out into the dining room. I'll tell you first of all what I want to do.
All right, will, a person's will, a person's choice. And I don't know quite how I want to ask it, because when I saw you coming in, I've forgotten your name.
Alan.
When I saw you coming in, and I just wanted to direct him, mm-hmm. you know, gently with hands on his back. And then I thought, no, I mustn't do that because he must be able to choose. So how does that tie in? If you want someone to do something.
Yes.
But how are you respecting their right to choose?
You're stopping him. They will nevertheless use their right to choose. Mm-hmm. Their cool, or his cool in particular, came over here because he followed the intent. And there was no forcing. He wasn't being made to. There was no danger. It felt comfortable. So his coup did it.
Okay. Had there been danger, of course, his coup would have set up.
That's right. Or if he had made a decision, rather than being open to follow his intuition, if he had walked in and say, hey, I like that ashtray over there, he'd have walked right over to that ashtray. Okay? Regardless of your efforts. Let's demonstrate this in a different way. We did this for a different purpose yesterday, but we'll do it here. If you want to come over here for a moment. Now, just turn around. Okay, look over here. Now, what I'd like you to do in standing there, I want you to be open to whatever you feel like doing. Okay, just be aware of your feelings and be aware of your sensations. If you may get some odd things, you may get some nothing at all. If you start to float up to the ceiling, I'll grab your ankles and hold you down. If you start to sink into the floor, I'll grab your shoulders and pull you back up. If you start to fall forward, I'll catch you. If you start to fall backwards, I'll catch you. If you don't do anything at all, that's perfectly okay. All right? Okay.
There you go.
It's okay. That's all right.
Was that what you wanted me to do?
Yes.
I just...
I had my hands about mm-hmm. foot or so behind your back, mm-hmm. and I was pulling.
Okay.
Now, you know how that felt. How did that feel?
Okay. I did go open, and I immediately went into panic inside. I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do anything here. And then just as I relaxed, it was just a drawing back.
That's right.
Yeah. It wasn't strong, it was still very gentle.
But your coup was following my intent.
Okay.
Now, stand back again with the same kind of feeling, only decide that nothing affects you. Okay. Think about what you're going to be doing for dinner tonight. Well, we have a lot of energy in this corner. But was it different?
Okay, I was setting it up. I was sort of putting a little thing around me, and I wasn't going to be influenced. But I still did feel.
Ah, okay. All mm-hmm. right. You were trying to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I suppose.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
This time, don't try to protect yourself at all. Mm-hmm. Just relax with the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. I'm going to stand here.
Stuff doesn't
work. Not going to feel anything.
Stuff doesn't work.
That's right. See?
No.
Who likes me?
Okay.
You're not cynical, are you?
Oh, believe me, I am.
You're cool.
Yes,
when you said, just be open and relax. What was going through your mind? Were you just saying, draw towards me slowly?
You mean while I was talking to her out here?
Yeah, no.
Or when I was in back?
Yeah, when you're in back.
Oh, yes.
And you wanted
to... I could use words if I want to, but nowadays I don't. I build up my energy, I have my hands, and I have the intention for her to move back.
Do you say I'm going to, you know, catch you, or you just...
Oh, I told her that before. Yeah. So her crew already felt safe.
Yeah. So you set the conditions so everyone's okay, and just let it fall.
That's right. What's important is that I gave her crew permission to do anything whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so that when it felt that intention, then it drew back with that. So the point is that, yeah, there is an influence through the aura. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I was very focused. Now, if she were highly occupied with something in her mind, what she's going to do for dinner tonight obviously wasn't important.
I wasn't making it, no.
That's right. But if she were really focused on something, doing a problem or writing a plan or writing a letter or something like that, unless we had a strong rapport already, she wouldn't have felt anything. Because her energy would have been focused in a different way. Mm-hmm. And she just simply would not have reacted. Okay. So we don't have control over anybody, but it is influence. And the influence is greater, in this case, because her coup felt safe.
Sometimes would the coup overrule the conscious mind?
In what sense?
Well, if you find yourself in a situation, you're going, well, I really don't know about this, and all of a sudden you get a good feeling about it, saying, it's okay, you can go ahead and do it anyway.
Oh, sure. But it's not overruling, it's still your choice.
I guess overruling wasn't the right word, but you choose, now this feels safer for me, or I feel more comfortable with it.
Yeah, your coup will give you information. Now, the conscious mind can overrule the coup. There are times when the coup says, hey, I don't want to do that, I'm scared. And the conscious mind says, we're going to do it anyway. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's where the overruling comes. The other thing comes is when the conscious mind says, okay, we're going to go stand at the edge of this cliff on the edge of the Grand Canyon and look down, and the coup says, no way. And you find you can't walk out there. Okay? Your legs will lock, or you'll fall down, or if necessary, the coup will faint you. Okay? Because then there is such a powerful imagination taking place that the imagination then produces so much fear that out of a sense of protection, the coup blocks you. Even if your conscious mind says go forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it depends on the degree of imagination, the patterns and expectations of danger and all those kinds of things as to which one is going to have the greatest influence. But see, these aren't opposing parts. You're all one. The coup is simply that portion of you that contains your memory patterns and habits and expectations. And the more you learn about those as a conscious mind, and have telepathy in the Huna system, we have telepathy with our subconscious as well, and telepathy with our higher self, as well as with other people and nature and animals. And so this is why I tell you to talk to your subconscious mind. You're really talking to your body and your patterns and your memories, and you can establish a telepathic communication there. And it's in the same kind of way. If you are gentle, if you focus on end results, if you allow the coup to do it in its own best way, without forcing it, you get the best results. When you try to force your coup to do something, it'll resist the best it can, and you just create more stress. So it's that same gentleness works best with yourself as well. All right. Let's have the thing, be careful when in troubleshooting with telepathy, regardless of what it is. Watch out for analyzing. Analyzing will undo it. Self-doubt. You're always going to be picking up. Self-doubt serves no valid purpose whatsoever. I can't. Is this true? Am I really doing it? Wipe all that out. The more you can just allow yourself to say, yes, that's right. You may not understand it all. It doesn't have to be 100% perfect, but it's working. Then it gets better and better. So self-doubt is one of the things that inhibits the function. Like I said, intense focus and a stronger emotional field in the environment. You have to pay attention to that too. If you want to have a particular influence, Let's say you're walking into a place where there's a lot of fear and you want to have a telepathic influence to calm that down. Fear is a strong emotion. If you want to calm it down, you're going to have to come in with a stronger energy in order to have a greater influence. So a stronger sense of love, a stronger sense of peace. Then you're going to have a greater influence in calming that fear down. So those are the main factors operating. Now let's see, in the next few moments here, well, there's about 15 more minutes. Do we have any other questions about telepathy? One of the things that we can do, just as some of the things that have worked well for me, telepathy with animals. Okay. Animals are very responsive because they're about what we would say pure ku. Right? Mm-hmm. Pure subconscious mind, not pure, they got a little bit of conscious mind, but not nearly as much as we do. They have a different function on the earth, but we can communicate with them very directly. There's an excellent book on that subject too, by the way. One of the best ones I ever ran across.
Desmond Morris?
What's that?
Desmond Morris?
No, not his. It's a guy, now some of you may recognize it if I say it, because they're right offhand. No, it's called, I think it's called Kinship with All Life. Yeah, anybody ever heard of that one?
No.
I would highly recommend it. This sounds a little strange, but one of the most moving encounters I've ever read with animals was this one guy's encounter with a fly. Very moving. But a lot of part of it is his dealings, when he first got into this, his dealings with a dog called Strongheart. It used to be a movie dog. I think it might have been back in the 40s. But how Strongheart actually taught him how to communicate with animals. And it's a very good book, a lot of good insights in it about that kind of thing.
His name comes to you, you'll let us know.
Yeah, well, the title is Kinship with All Life. And, but when you're sending, let's say to animals, I've used color a lot, with an intent behind that color, to calm dogs. I wake up in the middle of the night, dogs are barking, you know, and send a green cloud over there and calm them down. Works very well. It's the pure, simple, cool level intent. And one of the other things I found that worked real well, because dogs will respond to images. What they're really picking up is the intent. Okay? The image is simply your way to focus your intent. But one thing I found worked really well was we had a place where we used to do a lot of walking. And dogs would come out barking, all that kind of stuff. And so what I'd send was the image and the feeling of their master scratching him behind the ears. Okay. And the dog feeling comfortable and sitting down. And worked almost every time. As long as I could do it, if I didn't let the barking upset me, why, then it would work.
So
very, very well.
So it's always a positive formation, never a not stop that barking, but you have stopped barking. I am scratching behind the ear.
I like to do it that way best. It also serves to give you a good rapport with the dog. Mm-hmm. Now, one time I was going up this hill and I wasn't in the best of moods. And this dog came chasing out after me, and what I created was a thought form of this great big monster dog, you know. And the thing turned tail and ran. And it was the longest time before we got able to get on a good rapport with that dog again. You know?
I said,
now, that's not the way to do it, King, you know. I let a little bit of the old warrior out. But the other is a much more gentle way and a much more positive way to operate.
Hey,
yes.
Can you chase fleas off your animals that way?
Actually, yes, you could.
Yes?
Again, you can do that in a positive, gentle way. And one of the easiest, well, you talk to the fleas, and you focus on the image and idea of your dog or animal as being without fleas, free of them. And you talk to the fleas and tell the fleas to find some other way to do it. Now, with a lot of focused intent...
I've done that with other insects.
Sure, you can talk to cockroaches.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mine's allergic to them, and she gets all these scaly things on her.
Okay, body. Well, you got to help the animal relax, because the more stress an animal has, the more it will attract them. Okay. So You have to help the animal relax. And then you want to talk to the fleas themselves. Some animals are more hard-headed than others. Some insects as well. And so you have to tell them, sometimes it works to say, okay, now fleas, you've got 1 week to get out.
Does the flea know what the week is?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a timing sense with the coo. And you tell the coo, at the end of 1 week, I'm coming with the powder. And most of the time, the insects will respond to that because you've given them fair warning. And with ants, you can talk to the queen ant, because she's the one that gives all the directions. You see? And keep your ants away, because, you know, there's all kinds of other places for you to go, lots of food available in the environment, not in my environment. Okay? At such and such a time, on such and such a day, any ants that I find will obviously be ones who've decided to reincarnate. And you've done it gently, and you've done it with fair warning, and they'll tend to receive that.
That's what we did with these ants.
That's right.
We literally just gave a time limit and said, anyone left on the premises is going to get the bomb.
That's right.
And there were none left.
Yeah.
We went.
Hey, I'll talk to my wasps that way too.
There's another class of animals you can talk to that way, very successful, and people call them germs.
Mm-hmm.
You can make them leave anytime you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. The whole...
Just see, be elsewhere.
One of the corollaries to one of our principles says that everything is alive, aware, and responsive. And so you can communicate telepathically with anything whatsoever, and it will respond.
Is it stronger to verbalize? Or?
Verbalizing helps focus your attention and focus your intent. That's what verbalization is good for. The imagery has the same effect. It'll be translated, just like you saw how your coup translates stuff that comes directly from other people. Well, the coup of... Even the table has a coo. The coo of other things and animals and plants and things will interpret in its own form of communication. And so you can talk to, you know, you've heard of Burbank, Luther Burbank. Did a lot of wonders with he's the one that developed nectarines and seedless grapes and all kinds of stuff. And somebody came, you know, people came up to him to visit his laboratory. Find out how he did this. You know, well, he had a farm and a ranch, but he looked when these people came to visit his laboratory and all the experiments and grafting and stuff that he was doing. He said, "My laboratory's up here." He said, "You want to come and see how I work?" He went out into his field and he sat down by next to a plant and he talked to it. He coaxed it into doing what he wanted it to do, and kept that image in his mind of what he wanted the plant to be. How he wanted it to do, how he wanted it to develop, and he just kept that up, and the plant conformed to his expectations. They were done lovingly, and they were done with a positive intent, and he had that end result in mind, and that's how he created those miracles that he did. So, we can speak to the plants in the same way. We can speak to the insects, and we can speak to the animals, as well as to human beings. Remember, what we're not trying to contact the conscious mind. We contact the coo and let the coo contact the conscious mind if that's appropriate.
What about a mechanical device, like a
yes.
machine?
Oh, yes, in the same way.
I didn't know whether it was just me, but I've had success that way.
Oh, yes. In the shaman concept, everything is alive, aware, and responsive. So I talk to my computer, talk to the car, and they will operate better when you do that. I've been in my computer, and I can remember having a program where I'd do something, and it would bomb. You know? I'd do it again, it would bomb. And I'd sit back, relax, talk to the computer nice, do the same process again, and it would go.
But was that you being different or the computer, though?
You can't separate. Well, the second principle says that everything is unlimited. We're all influencing each other all the time. You can't say this is that and this is this. Sure, I changed, therefore the computer changed.